Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can also, I should say, watch it on YouTube also. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're a veteran, welcome back. We have Matt Smith with us today. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Gabor.
We have a question that comes up all the time in your classes and at the academy about plein air painting. Sometimes literally like, is there a different color palette you use, or what is your process versus studio, or what can you tell the students about painting outdoors, plein air painting? Why is it important? What's the difference in process for you? Anything you can just kind of shed a light on this general question?
Sure, and there is no one answer to that. No. It's as unique as each one of us are. We all have our own approach. I was out painting with a couple of friends not long ago. One of them is fairly new to outdoor painting, and he asked, how do you start? What do you do? And one of the other artists that was with me says, paint exactly what you see in front of you. That's all you need to do. And I understand that school of thought, and that's valuable at the starting line when you're first getting outdoors, because what it does is it trains you to look, to analyze, and to understand what you're looking at. But eventually, it becomes important to inject what you think about what you're observing. And what that point is, where that point is for each individual artist is unique. If everybody lined up and only painted exactly what they saw, there'd be a real similarity to all their work. There'd be unique differences, but far more similar. I want to get into to your mind or to that person's mind when I'm looking at their work and understanding what they're thinking of what they're painting. So I go out there. I just came off a trip from the West Coast painting the seascapes, and just standing there watching rolling waves. I mean, how do you paint
motion?
What you have to do is stand there and observe for long periods of time the similarities in each one of those waves, the unique differences in each one of those waves, and how you can apply that to the concept at hand, to the very idea of what it is you're painting. And that means oftentimes painting what you know.
Yeah.
I tease my students oftentimes and say, when do you paint what your lying eyes see versus what your lying brain is telling you? Because it points, what you see is more important than your understanding of that thing that you're painting, and at other times what you understand is more important than what you see. For instance, the underlying shape of a mass of sagebrush.
Yeah.
When you're looking, all you're seeing is one sagebrush. But if you paint every sagebrush with equal emphasis, nothing is important. It's all the same.
Yeah.
So you have to see that big shape and then render one of those bushes and let it fill in the rest.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an example. So when I'm outdoors, I try to get finished paintings. I'm painting a combination of what I see and what I understand and think about what I see.
Yeah.
And that's just my approach.
Yeah.
There are artists who go out and do large paintings on location start to finish. There are artists who go out and do small paintings on location start to finish. There are artists who just go out and collect notes, color notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique to each one of us and whatever it is you're trying to do. Me, I want to get a finished painting. I want to get enough information that I can use it back in the studio. I want to spend that time I see that time as an opportunity to study what's in front of me and better understand it. Like I just said, I'm a desert dweller. So these waves, that's not something I experience that often.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to stop and spend time and observe, and it was so, so interesting and so exciting to see that.
Yeah.
And it's just this constant motion and sound and activity.
Yeah.
And how can my excitement level not filter into all that and come out through the painting? And that's ultimately what I'm pushing for.
Yeah. There's that saying of if it's technically right, but it doesn't look good, then it's not good, versus it technically might not be good, but it looks right, then it's right, kind of thing too, right?
I saw an interview of Wilson Hurley years ago.
Yeah.
I was fresh out of art school, and it was fascinating. And he said something very interesting, and I'm paraphrasing, but if it looks right, but it's wrong, it's right. And if it looks wrong, but it's right, it's wrong.
Yeah.
So all that matters is on your painting,
yeah.
does it work?
Does it work, yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
We're celebrating this subject that's in front of us rather than documenting
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
at what point do you yeah. become the most important thing? It's not the subject. It's not, that's just an excuse to make a painting,
yeah.
To paint a picture. So don't discount who you are. Don't spend your time out in the field thinking, well, you know, how would Carl Rungis have done that? How would Edgar Payne have handled this? It's you.
Yeah.
We want to know about you. I want the viewer to understand what excites me when I step outside yeah. the paint, and yeah. that's what I'm looking for when I look at other artists' work.
Yeah. So as you're listening to this, you might be at a different stage level, as Matt said. You might be right in the beginning, which mm-hmm. is okay to copy. Just work on yeah. that. It's okay.
Yeah, it's basically yeah. what you're doing is developing your ability to yeah. understand and process.
So, but if you're, you know, let's say you've been painting outdoors fairly regularly for the last 2-3 years, well, you should be kind of maybe pushing yourself to that next thing that Matt's talking about.
And it will happen with time and experience. And, you know, when you first get outside, when I first went outside to paint, I was completely lost. I had control over nothing. Yeah.
The equipment is like literally the equipment itself. You're busy with trying to keep the easel at bay, or literally yeah. sometimes it's that fundamental. Like,
and that's a yeah, good point yeah. because at the beginning level, you're usually just starting. You don't have money to buy the fancy equipment.
Yeah.
So things are, you know, your tripod's falling over because yeah. it's flimsy. Yeah. Any rate, I jokingly say when I retire as a painter, I'm going to spend my time. I'm going to go full time back to plein air painting and outdoors and travel. I enjoy it that much. It's,
yeah.
it's an important part of the process, and it does nothing but reinforce your studio work. So
yeah, even if your time, would you agree with this? If your time is limited, paintings, then it should be done as much as possible from life.
I
doesn't have to be outdoors, but just at least in like. I don't know, paint of apples or whatever, but right?
Yeah. A strong, successful outdoor painting is about as rewarding yeah. a thing as you'll experience.
Yeah.
And they tend to be more valuable because it's sort of a marriage of intellect and emotion when you're out experiencing your yeah. subject firsthand. And those are so valuable back in the studio. Yeah. Worst case out yeah. there is you fail and you are forced to study your subject for a couple hours. On location.
Yeah. And it's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's you're going to walk away from with information, yeah. for instance, what not to do next yeah. time so that you don't fail. And over time, over years and years of time, the amount of information that you file away and bring back yeah. to the studio is invaluable.
You're like a scientist, this mad scientist that keeps doing experiments, and they're telling him why are you doing this over, you know, it's not working. And but as Matt said, it's information that you know what it's not working. You know 100 things that don't work.
Yeah.
So you're not wasting your time.
Each failed project leads to a stronger understanding of the next project. So
yeah.
So it's a build up over time, and
yeah.
and that's what it is. Plus, it's yep. like I said a moment ago, it's just plain fun.
Should be fun, and you know it's fun going with friends too, and like. You know, alone too, and whatever it is, whatever it is. But yeah, this is good stuff. There's so much here. I mean, we can probably do many podcasts just from branching off of this one topic right here. So thanks for kind of giving us a little insight on this, Matt. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
All right. So thanks for listening. If you want to learn more with Matt, he teaches a 365-day online mentoring course with us. There's 3 enrollments a year, one in March, July, and one in November. They're all are in the beginning of those months. So it depends when you're listening. You might want to go to the website and get on the wait list. And if you're super duper busy, then you can always buy a digital download from Matt. These are start to finish demonstrations. But the great thing with these courses is there's no falling behind. There's nothing live. We hear people sometimes they want to enroll, but they're busy. Well, within a full year, you're going to have enough time to spend with Matt. So check it out. Go to our website, and hopefully we'll catch you at the next podcast. Take care.